Better on Draft Podcast is part of the PodcastDetroit.com network and is recorded live in the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming in Ferndale, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back. Here is Dan, Nick, Ken, and Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 24 of the
Draft
Podcast. My name is Ken. Sitting with me, as always, Robert. How you doing over there?
Back-to-back weeks, my man. Yeah.
Back-to-back-to-back. What are you talking about?
Was that three? Did I do it both weeks? Go to you first when I was sitting over there?
What are you drinking over there, Robert?
I am drinking a limited release Mosaic Pale Ale from Rheingeist.
How is it?
It is pretty dank.
Pretty dank.
Are you going to share some of that in a little bit, or what are we doing there?
Oh, by all means. I'll grab a bomber. Grab a cup.
Is that a 24? I mean, this is episode 24. I was thinking about that when I got here. It's like I should have brought like a PBR or something.
Well, I mean, we can go next week for episode 25 and get the Bud Light 2.5, or the PBR 25 ounce can.
Oh, you know, is that like a natty daddy extra, or something like that?
The hell's a natty daddy? Oh, yeah. The first time I ever heard one of those.
Oh boy!
Am I making you date yourself by saying
no,
that?
No, these are new. This is a newer product
from Natural Light. Not a sponsor of the Better On Draft Podcast. Nick, you're over there manning our brand new Twitch channel.
Yes, we are live.
Yes. Yeah.
And we have viewers already. I'm kind of impressed with it.
Why don't you tell everyone how they could find us?
You can find us on Twitch.tv. And search Better On Draft Podcast.
All right.
That's where you can find us.
We do have a chat room.
Feel free to join us. Make fun of us.
Absolutely. I'll make fun of you back. Just keep that in mind.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Just so we all know, I am fat. Yes. We get that out of the way.
I think you've said that in like every show. So,
I don't know about that.
Brand new information.
Well, now that you can actually see me on camera.
Now that you can actually see.
You can see why I have a face for
radio. Good times.
Dan, what are you drinking over there?
You know, I'm actually drinking a Double Crooked Tree. Apparently you brought this weeks ago. I didn't know about it. I don't mind this beer. I know you hate it, but
one of the 89 variants?
Oh, no, that's a regular Crooked Tree. What do you even come up with 89 variants? Like, what?
Who's got their phone on?
Not me. I just turned it off.
But yeah, good beer. I drank that Cigar City IPA you gave me earlier too, since we were here so early. Very good beer. So thank you for that.
Cigar better than Hetty Topper?
Oh God, yes. Everything's better.
Cigar City is in the news today. We might have a chance to talk about it.
Didn't even know that. See, yeah. Segways. I'm setting
it up, Dan. Setting it up.
Didn't even know it. Just set it up.
There's so much love for Hetty Topper, and then you get in here, and we are just.
I can't believe what we drank. It was like, I almost feel like you were trolling us. Like,
no, I agree. I mean, it was like somebody making Kool-Aid the wrong way. You didn't
forgot to add the sugar.
They basically, it says put in a cup. You put in half a cup. It's like, all right, what is this? This is just colored water with. You know, some flavoring.
Right.
It's like maybe NutraSweet. I don't know.
NutraSweet.
So we also have a special guest today, the person who helped us with our Twitch channel as we were setting it up today, Tony.
Two-time guest.
Two-time repeat attendant.
Yes. Repeat.
How are you doing, Tony?
Pretty good.
We don't have very many repeat offenders on this show.
No,
he's number two.
Yeah,
number two.
You and the president of the Brewers Guild have been on here multiple times.
You're in good company.
Yeah, illustrious company.
It's kind of like the Five Timers Club on Saturday Night Live. Yeah.
Except it's the Two Timers Club on Draft Podcast.
It's only a matter of who's going to be number three.
Yeah, it's a race.
I'm for the hat trick in a couple weeks, aren't I?
Oh, he is. That's right. We already do have a schedule.
Hey, that's a pun in itself because.
Aren't I topical?
Yep. That's definitely something we'll probably be bringing up today is that those pesky Red Wings.
They're hanging in there. They are are hanging in there, so give them credit. They did win last night.
That's a way to say it.
I'm going to talk about the home goal because
they're hanging in there.
Helm needs to step up even more than what he's been doing recently.
Did you see that goal last night, though? We'll talk about it.
So that's pretty much we got me. I haven't I don't even have a beer right now, which I'm kind of very upset.
What the heck is wrong with you?
I know.
He was so worried on Facebook that I don't know. See, and you wonder why I bitch about social media.
I was trying to get the word out there about our channel there, sir. You don't have to be such a condescending.
This is why we have four people watching already.
Yeah.
Give them some credit.
All because of me, and probably
I didn't tweet this or anything. I mean,
You didn't tweet it?
No, I was being facetious.
Facetious.
Yeah, it's already been tweeted. We're good to go. Yeah.
Okay.
All 65 of our Twitter followers are
out there checking out. Oh, on the official Better on Draft podcast Twitter.
That is true, which I'll give you credit. When I got the new site, by the way, check that out, betterondraft.com. How do you guys like that, by the way? Do I get a little bit of credit?
The new site looks
good. Do I get
really
a little
good.
Bit?
You get a little bit of credit.
Four months later. I don't know. Yeah, admit that.
I don't know much of the backstory of, you know, how long it took apparently to get this.
Well, I mean, he said he was going to get it done like the Thanksgiving
week. During that week.
Look at you.
Oh,
man.
You haven't checked it out.
Yeah,
no,
I'm looking at it right.
Like that.
I was working all day.
So was I. I was working when I put that together. But yeah, I hope you guys like it. I can change
things. No, it looks good.
It's really nice.
Yeah, can do a lot more with it. I just didn't have a whole lot to put on there. Check out our initial article, too, from Ken.
From Thanksgiving weekend.
This is just setting it up for, you know, the future. You know, now that we have something set up like this, you're going to probably expect more stuff.
You can pretty much, exchange Bourbon County and the wording of the document with Kentucky Bourbon Stout. And
I didn't even think about that. And you're absolutely right. So I guess it was a good time
Minus a few of the dates, like referencing Black Friday and how it's much going. But yeah, it's definitely a interesting article. It's something that we've talked about here because I've always discussed how the craft beer enthusiast is pretty much the biggest enemy to the craft beer industry. And I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit today in regards to just the random things that we've seen online because being on the social media that Dan doesn't like, we do get to see a lot of the stories of what's going on with the KBS getting purchased. We do have Tony here, and I want to ask Tony because I know Tony's a very big the proper term isn't snob. You're very selective in regards to the beers that you choose.
That would be a very good way to put it.
So obviously you're a big fan of Guinness. Mm-hmm. That's a given in regards to the people that know you. But when you're going to a beer store and Guinness isn't available, what is your go-to option? Like, do you have like a style, a different brand? I mean, what is your thought process when you go into a beer store?
The first thing I'd say is if I'm not in my local area, I try to find something from the area I'm in.
Okay.
Because odds are I haven't tried that, wherever I'm at. So if I'm in Chicago or Philadelphia or something, I'm going to go and try to find something local for there. But if I'm here, I'm looking for Vanilla Java Porter from Atwater.
Good choice.
That's my number one go-to if I can't – or if I'm not feeling like a Guinness that day.
VJP is not too bad. They're actually – speaking of Atwater, they're opening up a brewery or they did up in Austin.
They're in the process of doing that right now. It is going to be a collaborative effort with one of the brewers down in Austin.
Flemish Fox Brewery.
Yeah.
Yes.
Say that five times fast.
Let's Flemish not. There?
Yeah, what's that?
What's that?
Do they speak Flemish there?
I don't even know what Flemish is.
What the heck is Flemish?
It's all very old, very, very old Dutch.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm guessing that's probably
shows what I know.
The name of the brewery from.
Yeah, you and your fancy degrees over here.
Fancy.
I have an engineering degree. That's not fancy.
That engineering degree that fancy. Helps with historical dead languages? ?
No, they speak Flemish in northern Belgium.
Do they?
It's still normal.
It's not like Aramaic, which is actually dead.
People actually speak that, though.
Where?
You know, I saw someone who was speaking. The guy must say he's speaking Aramaic. Apparently, they
languages
do.
Languages always
like
survive.
Yeah.
As a dialect.
Somehow.
They always survive.
Somehow.
But yeah, the
thanks
only big,
Mel Gibson.
Big difference between Flemish and Dutch is how they pronounce their G's. It's not a big variant.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about the Atwater Brewery, that this is they're going to be their first venture outside of the state, outside of the distribution that they've already done. So.
Well, I mean, they have a decent distribution right now, and their big relaunch.
They're up to 22 states, I believe.
And their relaunch with all of their labels is going to be an interesting way because I know a lot of people – pretty much for lack of better words, take a shit on Atwater whenever
they do.
You mention
they
Atwater.
Do. They a lot of really, people, really do.
You know,
it's like they start talking about the facility, and then you ever see that scene from Tombstone where dude's just sitting there, well, bye. and just like, all right, just go. But I mean,
if you bring up Atwater to the beer snob online, it's going to be met with pretty much definitions of oh, you drink shat water, because that's that.
What's that?
that is the
shat your pants.
Pretty much the automatic response, like you know when you call Bud Light piss, it like Atwater is shat water.
But isn't it a good thing that there's so much craft beer now that hipsters upon hipsters are crapping on popular craft
beer.
like it's
yeah, you know, but you have
craft enough.
You, right. Yeah,
you know.
Well, I mean, you have that same sense in regards to Oberon, in regard, you know, when Oberon was one of the bigger releases, and now it's just like, yeah, it's not a
bourbon barrel aged Oberon. Is that going to be a
bourbon
thing now?
That would probably taste god awful.
Oh, I'm sure it would. Bananas and whiskey.
Bananas like. And whiskey, Oberon. Oberon Foster.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know too much about like that's the thing though, is that the thing has ebbs and flows in regards to trends. Like KBS, which is the most recent one, is really what's going on. But you have so many different, like you have Huna Day, which just happened this past weekend, I believe, over at Cigar City. You have Bourbon County, which is a big one over here. You have Dark Lord Days. These giant, like, it's like a thing that you have to do, apparently, if you're in the craft beer industries. You have to go wait in line for hours.
Right. There was an event at Witch's Hat.
Yeah, Witch's Hat had an event yesterday.
Right.
Mug Club members only.
We're getting special now.
And even all of them did not get any of the beer. Because, I mean, I saw a couple posts where somebody was in line for, I guess, maybe about 2 hours, and there was a post that like he was like 30 people short.
Oh, geez.
Lord.
I couldn't imagine waiting in line and not getting the beer.
Well, isn't it someone local going to do a 7 a.m. release of KBS next week?
Is it?
I believe, yeah.
I haven't looked at too much. I was going to stop at a place in Dearborn that mentioned that they had it on the way home from I was in Manchester today, Michigan, and was going to stop in Dearborn, but they had already sold out by the time I called because the guy posted on Facebook 4 minutes later when I called, sold out.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, well, thank you. And like the person was very apologetic. Like, I'll probably actually go stop at this store in Dearborn just to give it an actual checkout just because she was like, I'm so sorry. We don't have it. We ran out. I'm like, it's okay. It happens.
Right.
Like, I understand this, but as you can tell, especially with the four of us, well, five, because Tony even, we don't really chase the beers like everybody else does.
No.
Like, you go wait in line for your KBS, I go drink a Dragon's Milk. And Dragon's Milk rate's pretty high with all of those people waiting in line for, so have fun.
I mean, I would love, because, I mean, there's going to be obviously another release. Next Saturday is going to be at Perrin. They're releasing No Rules. And from what I've seen, they basically said that there is no limit. So it basically is going to be, in my perspective,
a free-for-all.
And it's going to be like until the last release that happened at Oddside Ales, where they put a release and they basically said it was like 3-case limit or something like that.
Oh, Lord.
But before that, you had, back on Halloween when the Bourbon Barrel Age Imperial Maya Mocha came out, and there was no limit. And there were people who were walking away with 20, 30 cases of this stuff.
30 cases? Now, what are you doing?
Well, granted, there was one post. I forget who it was, but basically he was muling for everyone else.
It was Alec.
And, you know, it was actually for what I saw, it was actually kind of a good thing because he wasn't buying all of that for himself and to basically say, all right, now let's open the auction markets and trade everything. It was, hey, I want this beer, but I can't make it out there. Let me pay you. He got paid basically at cost. It didn't even seem like he even charged
him. No, he didn't charge anyone.
He didn't even charge for the gas to get out there and to pick up that beer, bring it back, and then just sold it to these people at the price that the brewery had it. So, I mean, I thought that was a cool thing. But then I see a post the other day about somebody getting a case of No Rules pre-ordered from some store that's out there in Grand Rapids. And you kind of look at it like, okay, are you buying this for you or are you expecting to trade this? And it was just kind of, hey, I got a case. Awesome. And then just it was kind of left like that. And it just kind of felt like, okay, you don't really seem like you're going to – you certainly don't seem like you're going to drink this whole damn thing.
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, mind you, I've waited in line for beer before when I went to the Kunin's Ode Brune release, which was near the first time that we actually had this episode, yeah. or this actual podcast.
It was right before, yep.
And so I went to the release, and I got they released the amount of allotment because they were going to say one case, I believe, per person. Mm-hmm. And I think they increased it. So I wound up buying some, and I was just like, you know, hey, if anybody couldn't make it out there, I'm selling it to you at cost. Right. Because I was like, you know, I'm here. Let me try to do, you know, beer karma, as a lot of people like to call it. So I'm like, hey, let's, you know, if you couldn't get there, I have it. Give me what I paid for it, and that's it. And I think a lot of people don't have that type of mentality because they're going to buy for the sole purpose of reselling or trading to try to get something better.
Right. Yep.
So not only are you taking a bottle out of somebody's hand, most likely that person that you're trading with, just so you could try to get something better or something from it. And of course, everybody is going to try to win the trade. Mm-hmm. No matter, you know, you have some really good
beer. You're going to one up everyone.
Well, right. Somehow.
I mean, well, no, because I mean, there was another, and I think he explained what he was going to do with the no rules, which I'd have to look at it again. But there was another post that actually hit one of the boards that got completely just flamed and just thrown out because someone had posted a picture of what looked like about three cases of KBS and basically just said, got the hookup, looking for trades. And it was just, there was no indication at all that he was even going to have a bottle, let alone a four pack of it. And I saw the post and the first thing I thought was, this is where craft beer goes to die. And so, now, granted, of course, we kind of say that Founders isn't.
That's obviously the joke. Well, let's get an outsider's perspective. You know, Tony, we're discussing these types of things that you've probably never even been privy to because you're
he's
not
like waiting in line for beer.
Well, you're not necessarily in the craft beer world. But is there a beer or a style of beer or something where, or you know, what do you think of these policies where people just go just to trade? I mean. You've been in hobbies where there's collectibles, so.
Yeah, I think it's kind of akin to, like, concert tickets or other events that you'd have at a venue where people will go and wait in line and they'll buy 20, and then they'll go on StubHub and try to turn them over for double what they paid for. And to me, if you look at the law, that's just price gouging.
Oh, yeah.
The barter system, to me, just feels like a way to get around legal action against you by the company that made the product and the people that, you know, maybe wanted to take that day off, but they – you know, live farther away and couldn't get in the line quick enough. And I think it was last summer or spring, the Foo Fighters were coming here and they made people go and stand out in line for tickets.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Which is okay. I understand why. But at the same time, if I'm going to drive in from Ohio to see the show at, like, you know, the Palace, then I can't go.
Right.
And
makes it very difficult.
You know, I've been trying to buy tickets for a show that was sold out, that it was pre-ordered out. That's coming here in the summer, and they added a second show, and I think if I got tickets to that. But if I didn't get tickets to that show, I basically – now it's a fact. Okay, I've got to go on StubHub and pay double the price now because
so it's sold
some
out
robot
in pre-sale.
Bought, yeah. Some yeah. robot yeah, bought the tickets.
Yeah.
To me, it's like if you're going to stand in line and buy 16 cases of something and not even drink any of it, well, you know.
Well, yeah, you have absolutely no – like I can understand if I bought like a case of beer or something and I tried one or two and I didn't like it, so here, let me trade. Or right. I bought a four-pack. I grabbed the two that I want and the other two, you know, because I had to buy a four-pack. So
yeah, that's understandable to me. But if you're going to buy like six extra cases and try to trade them, mm-hmm. I mean –
But the sole purpose of trying to trade
The sole purpose
trade
of trying, right. yeah. So that's what I think that maybe the limit is not a bad idea.
Well, you know, you're creating – just like I said in my article, you're creating an artificial – supply shortage because you are creating that supply yeah. shortage by buying as much as you can. And then of course this allows for people to mark whatever they want. You know, there's a liquor store out in Troy that they were charging, you know, mind you, KBS is about $5 a bottle. I think that's what the MSRP
is. That's what I paid when I went out there.
And people were charging $27 for two bottles of beer.
Jesus Christ.
And from what I heard, it was even more before that, and they brought it down to $27 for the two bottles.
It was more, and people got mad. Oh, we'll just make it $27.
As opposed to, you know,
40 or whatever. They're probably about 20 a bottle, I bet.
Yeah, they were charging 20 a bottle.
Wow. For one 12-ounce bottle of beer, like the size of this.
One 12-ounce KBS. It isn't even like a CBS, which happens every couple years where there's an actual release.
Yeah, it's a normal every year KBS, right, which you can find regularly.
You'll be able to find it by the time
you got to go Carmen San Diego on it sometimes, but you'll find it.
Gotta go Carmen
San Diego.
Did it just sink in?
It's like a thinking man's type of comment.
Wow. Sorry to go Dennis Miller on you there for a moment.
That's okay. But yeah, so it's definitely, I mean, you look at someone like Dan who, you know, all these Bourbon County releases, KBS releases, bottle releases are always happening while you're at work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost impossible for you to get it. And you're trying to figure out how these plebs who are out there.
It's true. Yeah. And I will call them plebs.
That can actually get to it. Now, mind you, I work from home, so it's easy for me to hop right over to 8 Degrees or whatever if I have the time and if I'm home for that matter, because I do a lot of traveling. But yeah, it's one of those things to where it's hard to comprehend. Like someone literally goes there just to buy a bottle, just to turn it into the black market.
These releases are always at like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. I was bitch about 8 Degrees Plato doing that. Like, where are these people coming from? What are they doing? They take these days off. Well, have fun. I probably have a better life than they do if they're taking time off to get beer.
Really, I think it's just people who have jobs that they have the autonomy to be able to leave and come back. Because to be honest, I have a job that is like that where I can be at work and I can see their post. I can see a post from 8 Degrees. And if there's something that's in there that I really want either for myself or someone else to try, I can pick up and I can go there, pick it up, and then come back to work. So, I mean, there's going to be that group of people who just, you know, some people work 7 to 3. And as being a person who works in an engine assembly plant, and there's nothing but hundreds of people in that plant that get off work. And believe me, trying to get out of a parking lot at 3 o'clock sucks, but they're all rushing out of there. So there's a big group, at least even from my employer, that, you know, they have that opportunity to get out there. But for me, I usually get off work, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock, but I can take off, I can go, and then I can come back and just make up that time. And I mean, some people just have that ability.
Oh, believe me, I do. The one thing I do, I don't work by a clock. I never have. But I'm not walking away for money to go get beer. And I really wonder, there can't be that many people that have the ability to go. It blows my mind that many people can go do that.
You see the people who, I mean, by the time you get off at 5, it's gone. You're thinking the next time, it's like, okay, I got to get there because, you know, I want this beer. And I'm going to go and get it because by the time I get off work, it's going to be gone. I mean, I almost had a situation yesterday where someone had posted there were 3 cases of Weyerbacher's Sunday Morning Stout that was sitting at a store. And I simply just wanted a 4-pack. That's all I wanted. But the problem was I was in Detroit. The store's in kind of West Bloomfield, Waterford, Highland. So
it's a long way.
That's a long way. That's a real long way. That's a long way. And I said, you know what? After I get off work, I could probably make it in about 35 minutes. We'll see what happens. I got there within 35 minutes, walked in the store. That entire spot was completely
empty. Many different people were able to drive out there and get all that.
It was a matter of about 3 hours between from when the post happened to when I got there. Jesus. It was flat out gone. And wow. I mean, it sucked making that drive. I wasn't all pissy about it. I just said, well, it's gone. All right. Hopped in the car. I went to Whole Foods and went to pick up some other stuff. And it just happened to have Dragon's Milk Vanilla Chai. So I was like, all right, the hell with it. So I picked up those 3 bottles. And I was like, all right, consolation prize.
I really don't think there's ever been a beer in which I've had to say I have to stop the second that I'm doing something, no matter what, and get it because my life depends on it.
Right. But there's a lot of people that act like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. Like when back at the Bourbon County release, you happened to text or put on the group me. This is actually Robert. I don't think you were with us back at the time that Bourbon County was out. And it happened to be at the Get and Go at 696 in Hilton.
Uh-huh.
And I happened to be like less than a quarter mile. So I just kept driving and turned in there. But if I wasn't there, I wouldn't even have driven over there. That's – it's not that big of a priority, I guess, to me.
Right. Well, there's just so many beers to try, yeah, let alone, you know, plus the beers that I like that I wanted. Like, I just grabbed a 4-pack of Mr. Orange because I'm like, I like this beer and I want to drink it some more.
Right. So I think there's a good enough community that if you can't find it, someone will, I mean, if they have a couple bottles, some will be willing to do a small trade. I mean, there's others will just say, hell, you can have it. And I just did that on Monday because there was a guy on one of the beer boards and we were talking about Duclaw's Sweet Baby Jesus, their chocolate peanut butter porter. And he said, man, I've never had a chance to get to Toledo. I'd love to try that. I said, hey, dude, I got a 6-pack in the house. You want to meet me up at my trivia show? I'll give you a damn bottle. It's no sweat off my back. And there it was. Just gave him a bottle, said, hey, keep on keeping the community
running. Well, that's the thing. And as much as we're harking on, you know, the beer, craft beer community itself, like the internet beer community, the fact of the matter is that it's just a very small, small few mm-hmm. who we're talking about. But because they're such a vocal minority and because everybody talks about it, that's why we talk about it.
Is this the IBC?
The internet beer community, the IBC. Not to be confused with a root beer.
Oh, yeah. I forgot
this
about
is literally
that.
What happens in every facet of life. It's always a small few that ruin it for the entire group. It's no different than...
Well, it's no different than literally every single... pretty much every single hobby, every single sports team, every single...
Just as much as there's 20,000 Michigan State fans who are sitting there frowning, there's at least one that is burning a couch right now. Right.
Oh, that's burning a couch. At one, it's probably like 100.
I was going to say, yeah, right, one but, is
you
know,
getting themselves kicked so out of say, you do that when you win, you do that when you lose, so you just burn a couch after every game? Is that what it turns
into? The Michigan State couch burners. Right. Isn't that their official team name now?
Pyromaniacs.
The Michigan State arsonists.
I have a cousin that goes to the. I have to ask him how much couches get burned and how often they get burned.
How often they get
how
burned.
Many and how often.
I don't know. I think we're going to need to start talking Michigan State fans off the ledge pretty soon after the loss today.
Good Lord. Wasn't it them that lost to George Mason years ago, too?
No, George Mason was.
I thought Michigan State lost to them.
They might have, but George Mason had like a phenomenal run. That was what.
Oh, I know, but that's another.
James Larinaga, and you know who's the coach of right now?
Who?
Miami.
Oh, gosh. Why did you set him up for that?
What is up with you? I don't understand. What is up with you in Miami?
Oh, I'm a huge Hurricanes fan.
Oh, okay.
He's never been to Florida, but
yeah, I have.
I was going to say, at least I could say I've been to Pittsburgh to say I'm a Steelers fan.
Well, that doesn't qualify because I'm a huge fan of a football club overseas and I've never been there.
Well, actually, I have been
in England, but I haven't. I've been in London. I haven't been in
Manchester. But when your choice is what we have in America versus that. Oh,
exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, we didn't play
MLS. And
fair. Before Tom Izzo, we weren't playing very good basketball outside of those two or three good years with all the rookie sensations. So you might have had to look out of state for a good team to follow when we were growing up. Outside of the Fab Five, we didn't have a whole lot until.
Well, I'm trying to think of
between Magic and Izzo, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm trying to think of who the old soccer team was that was Detroit.
Talking about the indoor?
The Rockets?
The Rockers. Before that, it was the Detroit Neon.
No, that was – Rockers were first.
Was the Rockers first? Oh, I thought the Neon was first.
No, this is Arena League soccer.
You're talking to somebody that went to a lot of these games.
I'm about to say, why am I challenging you on football slash soccer?
What's probably confusing you is that they had a lot of players crossover and joined the new team.
So, yeah.
When there was a completely different league. The old league folded. The new league started, and they started with the Chrysler sponsorship, and they also changed their name to the Safari after, of course, the automobile like they were named before.
So looking at the 2006 George Mason Patriots basketball, they actually beat Michigan State in the first round, 75-65.
What were the seeds? It was like 12
so
or 15.
They were a sixth seed. Yeah. Michigan State was a sixth seed, so they would have probably been a nine.
Yeah.
No, that's
10.
George Mason was like
that would have been an 11.
11 seed. Okay, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Something that I was going to say is double digits for sure. They're making a big stink about the first team ever from, you know.
Yeah, so they beat 3 seed UNC, 7 seed Wichita State, shocker.
Oh.
Then number 1 seed UConn, and then they lost to number 3 seed Florida in the Final Four. So
that's pretty darn impressive.
Is that a Joakim Noah?
Yeah.
Team, yeah.
Because there was 2 back-to-back titles from them.
Joakim Noah.
I don't know either. I just I just know things because of his hair. That's all I remember of Joakim Noah. And he plays for the Bulls or played for the Bulls, one of the two. God, that was 10 years ago was that George Mason run.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
A lot of things have happened in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
A lot of beers have been drank. A
lot of beers have been drank, yes.
Now we might see Middle Tennessee be the new George Mason, maybe?
Possibly.
Could I mean, they're playing a
team. I mean, you like just that. Knocked out a number two team.
They're playing Syracuse next.
Yeah, they're playing the Big 10. Orange.
So,
Orange.
It's going to be an interesting game, to say the least, come Sunday. So there was one thing before we take a break I want to talk about, get some time under it. But Smutty Nose is doing some – oh, Nick's got some Smutty Nose over there.
Pumpkin ale.
It's out of season.
In March.
It is, very out of season.
I don't know. I would drink pumpkin all year round if it was available. Yeah. I love it.
I should have brought some of that, too.
It is definitely beyond the Best Buy date, that's for sure.
Oh, whatever.
It's still good. Right. It's all good.
I have some bottles of beer that are way past
yeah,
the
Yeah, I know you
Are we cracking this
date.
Open after the break?
No, we're not cracking this open today. Another day
or
we
ever.
Probably. Oh no, we probably will.
You think those are drinkable?
Probably not, but
no,
you know,
I've got
a friend of ours who is very interested in doing it with me, so he will be on the show one day to crack open one of those EMBs, which is guaranteed to be at least 50 years old.
Will
EMS be on site?
Where's the nearest hospital from here?
From here? Oh, I don't know. We do. We do have an EMT friend.
That need,
we do have an EMT friend.
Yeah, he was at a concert I was at.
Yeah, he was at the Nightwish concert.
Yeah, he was.
That needs to be found out because I won't be responsible for what happens.
I will not.
I don't think there's anything in beer.
I will not have your blood on my hands.
Beer can't kill you.
The only thing that we're going to do is we're going to pour it to make sure nothing got in it. That's
other than
that,
it'll be drinkable.
It.
It might
taste like complete.
There's nothing
ass,
that can grow in beer that'll kill you.
Yeah, no. So we'll just make sure. I mean, I did see someone post that they found a bug in their beer.
Oh.
It was at the bottom of their barrel, like the bottom of the bottle, and they're just like, oh, well, the beer was still good.
Right. There's protein.
No,
what's
thanks.
Wrong with that?
So Smutty Nose is going to be doing something basically where they're letting the purchasers of the beer, so it's pretty much skipping the three-tier system, the second tier of the three-tier system, and allowing for beer stores to buy beer straight from Smutty Nose so they get the specific beers that they wanted. Now, it's basically going to be an online-type purchasing program, and they're going to be their goal is to get the small craft beer bars the chance to sell Smutty Nose without big, sexy craft beer bars, as they call it, big and sexy.
Is that like a 59 West or West 50 or whatever it was? Is that what that's considered?
Yeah. I agree with that.
I would say One Eye Betty's Clubhouse BFD would fall under those.
One Eye Betty's beer I never
Hot
heard
cat.
Of.
Hot Cat.
Well, I think One Eye Betty's does a lot of imports, too, in regards to their beers.
Well, they had like that $22 tulip or whatever.
Anyway,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So they're basically allowing you to skip the second tier so that the people who want the beer are getting it. So it's stopping the tier, you know, the mid tier, the sales tier, from having to go out and buy the beer or, you know, sell the beer actually to people and getting it out to the people that actually want it. So, you know, this is really changing in regards to how potentially the future of beer distribution works, because beer distribution relies on that three tier system. And with so many things going on with the three-tier system, like the pay-to-play that was happening in Massachusetts, you know, what do you guys think of this, you know, being the new normal?
I think it's great. Now, is the three-tier system everywhere, though? I mean, it's here where we're at, and we have terrible, like, beer laws or liquor laws.
Oh, yeah,
laws.
Yeah. Well, we're a
some of the worst
state, yeah.
I can tell you that it does span across all beverage industries.
Does
not
it?
Just beer, yeah.
I mean, we have
soda,
the worst
water.
Tax laws. We're up there with Alaska with tax-wise per barrel, so it's
wine.
Just kind of
all of that stuff is
kind of garbage, but
it operates on the manufacturer sales rep system
everywhere, yeah, no matter where you go,
to sales rep to retailer to consumer.
Everyone's
got to
make their money somehow,
at least
I guess.
In America, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's very common. I mean, that's why you have dealerships. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
You have the three-tier system in the car. That's why you can't have a Tesla.
Well, that's Michigan trying to force out Tesla out of the state with doing that. That's kind of crap. That's a whole other show we can talk about.
I don't think we have a car show on this network.
No,
now.
But that's a whole you could talk to.
I'm
going
to have to drive
that.
Out of state to buy my Aston Martin in 10 years.
But, I mean, that lends into what could potentially happen into the industry. because you look at the Teslas and the fact that they have to have – you have all these state laws where a Tesla has to be sold in a dealership. If – I think this is pretty good, but this catches on – that second tier is going to start lobbying for laws.
And Michigan will be one of the first.
And then all of a sudden, it's going to just be right back into that system again.
Yep.
So I kind of feel like it's good. And, I mean, I think that the brewers should be able to sell it straight to wherever, you know, that they anyone wants the beer. But that second tier is going to come around and say, you know, you're playing with my money. And playing with my money is playing with my emotions. And you're not taking my money. So we're going to legislation, and we're going to find a way to get our money back.
And that's what happens when you get the top 1%.
Oh, here we go. Bernie Sanders, everyone. Came in. Thanks for joining us today.
Sorry. It felt like necessary with the way Rob – I was like, I agree, Rob. We have to stop the legislation.
But it's going
to
be huge.
And it's right. It all fits into there because you're going to have people.
It's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge.
Huge, not huge.
Get huge. Right. Yeah, it's going to be huge.
Huge. I don't understand how a Pollock talks like a guy from Brooklyn like that. It's like,
his plan is to cut the H's out because like, you know, Latin Americans will pronounce the J's like the H's, so he wants to cut it out completely.
Javier.
Youssef.
Whatever you
do. What do you think, Nick?
Unfortunately, I don't know a whole lot about how the three-tier system really works, and it's going to be interesting. Because they're
I'll give you the cliff notes.
All right, go give me the cliff
notes. So Shorts sells its allotment to a specific distributor.
Yes.
And then the distributor in turn sells it to stores. That's literally all it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Smutty Nose is going to be cutting out the distributor, going right to the consumer.
And correct. It worked out. Right. They've already tested this.
Yeah.
And it was like a 60
yeah,
barrel.
Cool. According to this,
60
yes.
60 keg, yeah.
I agree that this is great. At the same time, this could backlash into potential legislation in state government based on, you know how these distributors want to lobby it.
Well, I think the big thing that we're going to see is that there are a lot of beers. You know, imagine the beers that we were talking about earlier, the BCBS and the KBS. Some of these beers are so easy to get on shelves in New York and California. You know, they're basically shelf turds there. They're not getting sold. Nobody's purchasing them, and there's nothing that you can, you know, it's just so crazy to see how it just stays there. Like, nobody buys it, nobody cares about it, but here you can't keep it on the shelf for more than 10 minutes, let alone some places where it doesn't even make it to the shelf. It just goes to the counter, they scan it in and sell it because somebody chased the truck to get there, right?
You know what that falls into, though?
What's
this
that?
Might be going on a tangent. Same
go
thing
for
with
it.
Sports, like hockey and that. We're a cold winter or a cold weather area. I mean, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were
pointing
my bad.
No, he's pointing to me.
The like it's somewhere like Phoenix, L.A., San Francisco, Miami, get more things or better things to do than sit around and drink heavy 12% beers.
Uh-huh.
So those are going to sit around. You're not going to drink that in the 90-degree heat. You want to crack open a KBS in July with me?
Yes.
Well, most people won't.
That's
most
because
people.
We're from here and that's what we've been doing.
Are you kidding?
Most people won't do that. And most people, just like watching hockey or watching things, people are going to go ride their bikes or go hang out in the afternoon on a
We're discussing – you're discussing about someone who is willing and like very willing to open a 50-year-old bottle of beer.
That's true. That is true. But I
just
think,
to drink
just
for the story.
It plays into that this area is the minority when it comes to it. Because
oh, yeah.
Cold weather, you're going to be indoors more. You're going to drink some beer. You're not going to be hanging out in the 10-degree weather outside like cracking open beer or doing something like that. You're going to be hanging out, drinking beer, watching TV, watching sports. It plays into the same thing. In my opinion, at least. I think it kind of goes there.
Well, I understand. Definitely. Well, I think at that point, though, it's going to be able to cater to us who want that. Because, I mean, again, no matter what the season is, not too many people are going to want hockey in, say, Texas. Whereas you have, you
they
know.
They have a Stanley Cup winning team there, but.
Well, yeah. They're, you know, they're
asterisk.
Oh, geez. Oh. Wow.
League short
Dominic Hasek called.
Shots fired there.
Bam!
I was going to say Florida or Arizona, but there's so many Michigan transplants out there that they actually care.
Rob just dropping the bomb.
Yeah,
there.
Obscure, dropping that out of nowhere.
Foot in the damn crease. That's all I got.
If you're a Wings fan, that's the equivalent to intent to blow the whistle.
Intent to blow the whistle.
Right. Oh,
it went in the goal before you blew the whistle, yes, yeah, but it went in after the intent to blow the whistle occurred. So, obviously, they have, like, ESPN in regards to everybody's
they have
minds.
ESPN.
See what I did? It was like a double entendre. Because ESPN doesn't care about hockey. It's all about that TSN.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to reset. I do have some Mosaic. I am definitely interested in these two bottles that are on our table as well. So,
that doesn't look like beer to me.
No, that's bad that news. Is, we're going to talk about that after this break.
We will be right back. Hey, we are back with the Better on Live.
Oh,
Better on
wow.
Live, Better on Draft podcast.
Better on Live.
I heard that track in and I was like, wait a minute, we're going.
You don't even give us a heads up. You're just like, hey,
I wasn't
what are
even
you
paying attention.
What are you doing?
This is like the start of the show, and now you finally got a drink in front of you.
I know. I was too busy updating the drink list. I was doing a lot, Daniel.
What were you doing? I was updating a spreadsheet, actually.
Come on,
you were playing Hearthstone.
No, actually, I wasn't. And you can look at the video now and confirm that.
So
I have proof.
So we got some stuff on the table now that is not.
It smells delicious.
Yeah, that's not beer.
Not at all.
What are you guys drinking?
Why don't you ask Robert?
Robert, what did you bring in?
I poured a lot.
Dan just brought a lot in.
Well, and I think I brought it up last week. So there were a couple experiences where I got to the chance to volunteer at 2 James Distillery down in Corktown. For those who don't know what Corktown is, that is in Detroit.
Tiger Stadium.
Tiger Stadium area. And they basically put out an Instagram post looking for volunteers to help bottle. So I said, what the hell? Showed up. Bottled and just worked there for about 4 or so hours, and they basically said, hey, take your pick. And I was like, well, I really don't know what I want. It's like, don't worry about it. We have everything open, a sampler right over here at the table. So what we have here, what we are drinking right now, is from 2 James Distillery, and it is their Grass Widow Straight Bourbon Whiskey.
Ugh.
Is what we have right now.
You're not a bourbon fan?
Oh, I am.
You're like, ugh.
We do have another bottle here, which I'm sure we will crack open a little bit later, but it was from my second week volunteering.
Just in case we get through the first one, we got a second bottle.
Just in case, by some chance.
We're not that much of alcoholics.
We're going to top week one right now.
By some chance we get through that, I do have a second bottle. This is a what they call their Badlands whiskey. This is the 2 James Johnny Smoking Gun, which is a whiskey that is – pretty much it has like a sweetness from the corn that obviously it's distilled with, but it is also made with black tea. So it kind of yeah. So it's pretty damn good. That's all I can say. So I'm gonna go over to that. Other than that, that is pretty damn good whiskey right there.
Yep, and in the growler we have a Cabin Fever from New Holland. So a delicious brown ale for anyone who wants it. I already have a glass myself.
Very good. So do I. Good beer.
As well as a glass of the
Rheingeist.
The Glass House, or not Glass House. Glass House. Glass Widow.
Grass Widow.
Wow, I am just failing.
I have
today.
A shot of that.
You have a shot of it? How's that going for you, Dan?
I haven't tried it yet. We're going to try it right now.
All right, he'll try it right now. Live on the radio. And
it's
on
delicious.
Video.
Live on video. Hey.
It's actually delicious. Have you guys tried it yet?
Smooth as hell, isn't it?
It's very smooth.
It's very smooth.
It has a little bit of a burn on the tongue. Yep. Not like a Jameson.
Is that
right?
The glass?
Yeah, that one right there, but very delicious. It's
hand me a cup, will you?
Now Nick wants to hit the bourbon.
Of course I do.
Why
not?
You only drink once.
Get ready, because when I come back, it's going to be the Better on Scotch podcast. Oh,
that'll be all you.
Scotch podcast.
The Glenfiddich show.
The Glenfiddich.
Hosted by
McClellan 21.
I say, I do have a, bottle of 12-year Glenfiddich at home. That is some good stuff, too.
Nice. I have a bottle of
and that's like
something.
The entry-level single malt.
Yeah,
so,
no.
You know, if you want to get some advice from me later,
yeah.
Pick my
smooth.
Brain about what to buy next, just let me know.
Got it.
So there is a new job opportunity this summer. For any of
yes.
Us. Did you guys hear about this?
Gosh,
there's a new job.
No shit. I heard about this.
I wanted to introduce this one so hard, too.
You have the opportunity to become an intern for the company called World of Beer, which is a major chain.
I did see this.
And they are going to pay you thousands of dollars to travel the country.
And international.
Oh, they're going to do international. They're going to $12,000.
$12,000.
Including all your travel expenses, food and lodging, and beer. For trying beer across the world.
And this is very interesting because didn't Netflix do something like this not 2-3 weeks ago?
Where they paid someone to travel and drink beer?
Basically, they were saying, you know, post up some pictures on Instagram and they were going to pick whoever made the best pictures and we're going to allow this person to basically travel the world and get paid for traveling the world.
No.
Which I don't understand.
Testing Netflix streams across the world.
I'm guessing so.
Here in Malaysia.
Yeah, let me see if House of Cards works in Bora Bora.
It's like I was watching Daredevil season one in London because I couldn't sleep in it. Yeah, so it worked. It worked.
It worked.
Can I get paid $10,000 now?
Instagram selfie.
12,000.
Is that 12,000? Where's my check?
Yeah, so they're actually looking for 3 people. To spend 4 months traveling across the country and abroad, tasting all different types of beer, and create a blog, social media, and that's pretty much it. So everyone can follow and be envious of these people trying beer across
the
world.
That's why you lost me, having to have a blog.
That's be tough when you're drinking all the time. It's the last thing you want.
And I think you lost Dan when you said social media, too.
Well, that too. But I mean, I can handle a blog, but...
I mean, to get paid $12,000, would you get...
For how long?
It's 4 months.
No, it's not worth it. It's not enough.
No. Well, this is an internship.
It's no.
So, if I mean, what if you were, you know, you're...
So I have to leave my job to make...
Well, no. It would say, for example, that you are a college student working in, I don't know, marketing or something. That would be an opportunity.
Yeah,
that's a good point, but I'm not walking away from my job.
Oh, no. I wouldn't expect you to do that.
You're more looking at seniors in college who...
Juniors and
seniors.
And
they'll think they're on top of the world. It's like, oh, you're just going around drinking beer. No one really cares.
Do you really want to trust a 21-year-old with a beer making?
So basically, you walk into an interview, oh, you're a drunk. Okay. Drunk with a blog.
Who with disposable income that spends it on beer and liquor wants to read the musings of a 21-year-old?
That's true. Too, yeah,
you know, like I want somebody older than actually.
How many 21-year-old, how many younger, like young kids out there actually, you know, go out and try different stuff, you know, on a weekly?
We were definitely a minority in regards to the crazy shit we did.
But even then, we didn't stray from our you know, trusty. You know, beers and drinks and stuff.
Guinness and Killian's. That was pretty much the one-two punch.
Guinness, Killian's, and Coors Light.
You can blame availability on that, but I mean, it's Michigan. Like, we have some of the best availability.
Had it. We just liked what we liked.
Well, you know, you get a little older, and you're like, you know what? Let's go relax, and then
it's a motto on the show.
Once everybody starts going to the store to buy stuff instead of going to the bar where you have a limited selection, then it all changes.
Yeah,
that's the writing you want to read. Somebody that.
But I think that's what's opened the ability to have so many different types of big and sexy craft beer stores.
Right.
Because you have such a large selection. But again, you're paying a premium to have that large selection because if they, you know, if they don't sell the beer within a specific time, they're going to lose money. So they have to make sure to pad their earnings. So places like Hopcat or 1-Eyed Betty's.
All right. I thought there was at least one cool craft beer store that we know of.
Oh, yeah, we have Zatuna Liquor. Is that who you're talking about?
Let's go. Rob's trying to do the segue.
Us on track.
I was going to say, you can actually do it. I don't have to do the. But Zatuna Liquor, located in Rochester Hills, just south of M59 on Rochester Road.
Literally right next to my house.
Right. Go say hi to Jack over there. Really really nice guy.
Jack and the boys over at Zatuna.
It's Jack. That's pretty much it.
Jack and the boys.
There's a few people that I've seen working there stocking shelves and stuff, but it's Jack and Jack's helpers.
Every once in a while, if the ball is coming toward me, I'm just going to swing. So
his minions.
I just do it out there.
Yeah. If you go to the minions. Counter 98% of the time, it's going to be Jack. So don't forget to say hi to him. Ask him what he's got on special. Again, it's a full liquor, full beer store. You got everything, snacks, cigars, definitely a place to check out. That's Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills. Thanks. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you, Rob.
And if you don't want to drive far, you can come hang out in my backyard. Because it's
oh, right, you can go right hang there out in Tony's backyard. That's an open invitation for the tens of thousands of people who listen to this show.
Yeah, it's like a half acre. You can come hang out.
And go hang out over at the half acre. You can sleep in the yard.
I don't know.
How big it is. I just, it's huge. So
it's huge.
Huge.
It's huge.
Huge.
You got to use the arms too because we're on the video.
But don't try to jump over the fence that I built around it. Because
show the people in the world.
Don't you?
Then I'll kick you out.
A wall. Did you build a wall?
It just got 10 feet higher.
Just got 10 feet.
Talking about
this. We're going to make our neighbors pay for it.
I might build a privacy fence someday, but I don't know.
Well, it just got 10 feet higher. All right, all right.
Yeah, but it won't be to keep people out. It'll be to keep people in.
I'm gonna have to get one of those privacy fences one day just because animals.
Exactly. I have a little dog, and there's dogs in everyone else's
yard. Well, I'm sure I'm going to have something bigger than a dachshund by the time I get a house.
Dogs will get through chain link fences if you give them enough time and, you know.
I'm going to see one day my dog trying to get through a chain link fence and getting stuck.
Oh, yeah. That's just, it's a guarantee.
That's just a
I've caught my dachshund in a tree.
Right.
Like, in a tree. Oh, there's a tree between my garage and the fence, and a dachshund sitting in a tree barking at the
vet. You get something bigger that can jump over the fence. And, so either way, you have a nightmare scenario. Yeah. Why you build a wooden.
Yeah, here's a small dog in a tree barking at you. Right.
And you got to build it in the ground, too, because obviously with a dachshund, they're bigger.
Like, yeah. I don't give a crap. I'll just dig through this.
Mm-hmm. So what were you exactly talking about? I can't remember the getting paid to drink. There was
smutty note. Yeah. Oh, we moved on from smutty.
We went from two James to then we were talking about the World of Beer.
World of Beer.
And they're
have you guys ever been to a World of Beer before?
No,
not yet. No,
it's a restaurant. It's a restaurant chain. I went to the one in Atlanta.
Is there one around here?
There actually is going to be one downriver soon. I think there is one in Ann Arbor, though.
There's one in Ann Arbor, pretty much in, I kind of call it the downtown campus area.
Yeah.
The downtown area?
Yeah, it's over by Pinball Pete's.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Right.
That's
If you need, it's maybe like two blocks away from Pinball Pete's.
Yeah. I got you. No, I know downtown Ann Arbor, unfortunately, where they have the parking structure where the top level goes gold. And then brown, like you're on the shit level of the parking structure. I don't know who put that together.
Just so you know.
Yeah, just so you know. Why is the top level brown? Because it's shit.
I don't mind parking on the top level.
I normally look for that because then you don't have to fight for a spot.
Yeah,
like, there's
nobody around you. You're already going to take the elevator or the stairs, so you might as well park near it. So the adjective of being lazy, that's how you be lazy. Yeah, drive another floor up just so you can get closer to the elevator.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
So, I mean, we were talking about, so let's bring ourselves back to the college days. You know, we're 23, 22. You know, college is almost over. We don't have our full-time jobs yet. If we did, we don't. Let's just be there for that type of sake of argument because I didn't start college until I was 25. What'd you guys take the job?
I mean, they're not – I mean, basically, I'm looking at their job – basically the job posting. And their whole requirement is they're looking for people who are wanting to share their experiences about exploring and sharing it with friends, being on social media, being passionate about beer, creative, friendly, outgoing, and love to travel. I mean, unless you're a hardcore – introvert or an agoraphobic, that's not asking for a whole hell of a lot.
No, and here's the thing with that too, that's gonna draw a ridiculous number of applicants. Like,
definitely.
It makes you like, why do I even try to get this? Because it's not gonna just take your skills, it's gonna take luck of it getting seen because there's gonna be so many dig through.
This AAA American Idol.
Oh yeah, this is basically like
triple.
This is Road Rules beer.
Right.
Oh my god, Road Rules.
There's gonna be a challenge at every stop that you make.
Okay, TJ Lavins.
Mike Mazanin was on Real World.
Real World, yeah.
No, I'm Theo Vaughn. There you go. That's the only Road Rules person I know.
Wasn't one of the people on the very first
Puck
one on the Real World? Was it named Kit Hoover?
Yeah, Kit Hoover.
She was on the very first season of Road Rules. She was on ESPN. She's on another TV.
She's on
Access Hollywood?
Access Hollywood or Extra, something or the other.
I mean, really, the only big requirement that's on here is the writing the blog. So, I mean, to some
so you have
capacity,
to learn how to write.
You need to know how to write.
You're going to have some type of they're going to ask you for some type of writing, and then they're going to have to read through all those. So even further, like once they find like a dozen or so applicants that they want to hire, they're just going to be like, all right, goodbye, everybody.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to look a gift horse in the mouth or anything, but if I got into the interview or something, I would probably inquire a little bit more about the details, because if there's three of you and you only have one blog. In theory, you could delegate, like, one person could take the Twitter, one person could take the Tumblr or the Instagram, and another person could take the blog. And if that's how it was set up, I would consider doing it, just because I would not want to do the blog, but I could do the tweeting. That's, like, no effort for me.
I think there's just so much – I think it would turn into too much of a job to where you wouldn't be able to, actually enjoy how they want you to enjoy it.
Right.
Because I think that's
the whole point of it is sort of counterintuitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's like you have to do, this is the thing you get to do, but you have to post on Facebook, post on Tumblr, Twitter 5 times a day.
Well,
you have to make it
$3,000 a month. Yeah.
Right. But
they're going to want something out of you.
They're going to fly me around the world. If I can do it the way I want to do it, that's kind of a small price to pay for me. Because I mean, I'm saving money now to go try to travel around the world so I don't have to write a blog when I travel. And it's going to cost a lot more than being up $12,000 at the end of a 4 months.
I kind of feel like if they're going to split people up, the way they're going to split it up is by destination. And they'll probably say, you go to Europe, you go to Asia, you go to Africa.
Have to be.
I definitely want to go to Africa in regards to the fact that there's so many small-time breweries out there that we barely get, that you have to pretty much just go to merchants just to get.
Yeah.
And every single, African brewery that I've had has just always been good. Plus, you've got pretty much Sab out there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can – they probably import a lot of different stuff too.
Right.
So definitely if the Sab Miller ABI merger happens, you're pretty much getting Europe, Asia,
so
Africa.
So maybe we can buy a castle easily in America then? Probably not. But
probably not.
Yeah,
no.
Of course, still can't get that.
I mean, distribution's still going to always be a pain in the ass no matter where you go, but it's going to at least allow for a little bit more than what's going on right now.
Right.
I mean, you're talking distribution. Let's talk about, the hedge fund that just bought Cigar City.
Yeah.
You know, Cigar City's a company that we can't get up here.
Nope.
And it's going to be purchased by a company that we can get up here, Oscar Blues, the hedge fund that owns Oscar Blues. And they do Perrin, Oscar Blues, a few other breweries.
Fireman Capital Partners.
So technically, because it's a hedge fund and not an alcoholic company, they're still craft beer, technically. Technically.
Just because this rule or this didn't exist when they came up with this, the craft beer rule.
Pretty much, I guess.
That,
I mean,
the
whole definition of craft beer is dead. I just use it just to upset people.
Just to make people cry on the internet.
make people cry about founders not being craft.
Well, yeah, it's not craft. It's just another brewery.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yep.
It's a microbrewery, that's for sure. It's just not craft.
Is that like Ballast Point? Not a craft.
Ballast Point's not a craft. That's owned by Constellation. That's owned by a big dog. Not even Founders isn't even owned by a big dog.
And our listenership continues to fall.
I don't care.
No, it doesn't. Our listenership keeps going up.
Yeah,
FYI.
I know. I know.
We really want to go there.
We must be doing something right about calling out Founders is not craft.
We're that struggling podcast.
That's right. We are that struggling podcast. No, kind of is a struggling podcast.
When are we going to kick out on the finisher and roll somebody up and win?
Pretty much where we're at now. That's pretty much where we're at these days.
Yeah. The 1-2. That wasn't even a roll up. That was something ridiculous. Yeah,
it?
That was a moonsault. Oh my gosh.
Man, people in the 80s had no idea what going to the top row was all about if it wasn't Jimmy Snuka under.
Look at this guy's going up backwards. What's he doing?
And then, of course, that happened.
Wait, he murdered Snuka. his wife?
Well, that was back in the 80s. He did that in the 80s, and now he's on trial. I don't think he's ever going to get, convicted.
No.
He won't be able to stand trial.
I mean, come on. Hulk Hogan just got $115 million.
Yeah,
I mean,
just now.
Literally.
Well, you know what?
As we're here in the studio, they announced
that. Well, he's only going to get about a third of that.
He pretty much closed Gawker down.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I hope if I ever have to go to court, because, I'm assuming like most people in here don't normally go to court.
Not too often.
I'm going to wear a bandana, and if they say anything, I'm going to just be like, what's this? Have a picture of Hulk Hogan in court on the stand wearing a bandana. I'm like, he can do it. Why can't I?
Is that there you go. That's setting precedents.
Yeah.
And courts are all about precedents.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
The judge doing whatever they want.
Or the judge doing it. Judge is too busy. My 60-year-old son loves you, or 40-year-old son loves you. I remember taking him to the Silver Dome.
WrestleMania 3.
Like, well, Your Honor, Hulk Hogan wore this in court. Why can't I? You're going to give me crap. Anyway, go ahead, Ken. I'm sorry.
No. It's okay. It's okay. So, again, the company that does Oscar Blues. So we don't know the official, what the purchase price was, what everything is, if it's a full-on buyout.
Yeah, those have not been disclosed.
So they're going to be pretty much just like another craft beer alliance or, another major craft beer conglomerate where a bunch of breweries get together because, while it's not going to make them any more money, it's going to take away the potential of, if one of them goes out of business, you're not going to lose your house or, it's one of those things to where it's an investment for, keeping yourself above water no matter what. Because to be honest, we talk about it with nearly every brewer that comes in here and we ask, is there a bubble? Is the bubble going to happen? And, we were putting together a list of breweries and, there's like over 300 right now in Michigan between just breweries and breweries being open, and Michigan's not even one of the top states,
right?
In regards to breweries,
we're talking per capita or total number.
Both.
Who's the head? Like
top Cali,
California,
would make Colorado.
I think the top three are Oregon, Colorado, Texas, probably.
Yeah, I think the top three are Colorado, Pennsylvania,
Cali,
and Cali.
Aren't we number one per capita?
That would actually make
Vermont.
Sense. Yeah, Vermont by far. Right. No, but the three states you actually said would make sense between Pennsylvania, Texas, and
but you said something interesting about there being a bubble, and I don't really think there is one with beer. Because like you said before in the first segment that some of the beer is going to sit on the shelf, in other states, and who knows what it would do in other countries. Not to bring scotch into it, but there's going to be a bubble bursting there because there's a shortage of product and it's being consumed globally at such a massive rate that people can't keep up. I don't think that's going to happen with beer.
I don't think that'll happen with beer, but I think the market will get flooded, probably within the next 5 years.
That's a good thing for consumers. That means costs are going to come down for them.
Yeah, but the breweries itself, though, they don't have such a high profit margin in regards to the amount of, I guess they do because the beer, but investing the time and pretty much what they're doing is they're making the money back for the equipment. That's right. Really what you're paying for is not necessarily the product as much as the equipment to make the product and the time it takes to make the product. And while you can have a continuous cycle of product continuously being made to where you're not waiting, the equipment's going to break down. You're going to have to buy a new one, buy updated ones. I think sooner or later we're going to see some type of bubble because there's just too much cost goes down. And I think that's when the bubble will explode.
But I think also that the people that can't survive it, they'll just get scooped up by the big companies instead of, disappearing.
Have the portfolio.
The companies will scoop them up on a discount when they're about to, have to close down to keep their brands.
We really don't see that, though, with the smaller breweries in Michigan. You look at breweries like Big Buck, Copper Canyon.
Sure, but that's how business works in general. So it's only a matter of time before, InBev and whoever else who's still around will start doing that. They're already,
But I think there's so many small breweries that I don't think InBev, Sad Miller, even the bigger micros, like your Bells, your Founders, will even go after some of these breweries because there's just so many. You look at a brewery like, Dragon Mead. We'll call Dragon Mead. That's a micro. Nobody's going to save Dragon Mead if they go under.
No.
I don't think anybody will come in. Somebody might come and buy the product.
They'll buy the label, they'll buy the box.
I don't even think they'll buy the label. I think they'll just buy the recipe.
Yep.
They'll buy the recipe.
And rebrand it as something else.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm kind of getting at. You won't necessarily have all your favorite brands surviving, but you might have a spiritual successor somewhere.
Well, you have like the guy who was in from Roke, who's the master brewer at Roke right now, was formerly the master brewer of Big Buck in Auburn Hills.
Yeah.
Some of these guys come in and they just disappear. Like I know, I believe it's, gosh, I don't want to be incorrect again after last week when I kept calling Tenacity Tapestry.
Yeah. You did. You kept calling it Tapestry.
I know, over and over.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure, though, Fillmore 13, the person who's running it is the guy who ran Copper Canyon.
Really? Nice.
And that bombed, but I don't know if it was much as where it is located as opposed to...
Talking about Copper Canyon?
Yeah, over bombing
on the
field.
Yeah, on the service drive where you have to go a certain way and then turn
around. You have to either get off at Losser or go all the way to Telegraph, all the way
down.
It's interestingly enough, Dragon Meat is on a service drive.
Which is true. Yeah, they've survived a long time.
Yeah, but Dragon Meat itself, while being on a service drive, you still had to drive by it, whereas not many people get off at Losser. And the service drive is not really the true 696.
You can't see it from Losser. But I just saw on there was an article from Denver Post. They were valuing the deal at $60 million.
Wow.
Valuing Cigar City at $60 million?
Yeah.
That's kinda really low in comparison to Ballast Point getting bought out for $1 billion.
$1 billion.
Yeah, it's I don't know.
I don't. That seems really low. I don't know.
I don't know what Ballast Point's not necessarily like how much they made in comparison. Like I don't know, because obviously when Ballast Point got here is just when they got bought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like they came here. Oh, by the way, Constellation's going to buy us for $1 billion because what do you call it? Constellation made a bid at Oscar Blues and they said no.
Right.
Which when you're backed by a hedge fund, you really don't need the.
Well, didn't someone else make a play at Ballast Point? Was that Oscar Blues that made the...
That might have been. I don't remember for
sure. Someone made an offer and they turned it down or whatever happened. Then Constellation bought them. So
everybody's got a price, Dan.
Well, it's true. The $1 million man came in. $1 million man came in and bought them for $1 billion.
What a great theme song.
I was going to say.
That was so before its time, if you think about
it. Yeah,
that.
It was. Yeah. That's why it's still he's in the Hall of Fame, because he's just a great character.
Damn, DiBiase.
His son was such a fan.
The DiBiase posse.
Sorry, I had to even laugh.
Okay, I was going to say, where's the money?
I'm pretty sure he appeared on like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous at one point, too.
There was definitely like a Vince McMahon handshake with them to do a fake.
I'm pretty sure that happened.
Absolutely, I'm sure. Like
Robin Leach interviewing
I'm
him.
I'm Robin Leach. Welcome to Lifestyles.
Hello, I'm Robin Leach, and welcome to Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Today we'll be looking at the star-studded Okay, I'll stop.
If you want proof that all good American TV is lifted from British television. There it is
right there.
Well, when it really truly became American, it was called MTV Cribs.
But even before that, there were several, on lesser known TV channels of just.
I know, I was being very.
Then the American version.
You're being sarcastic. Then,
Well, not to be confused, what was that MTV show with
Hit My Ride?
Yeah, there you go. I love the fact that I'm not even talking about housing or anything like that.
No,
I'm talking
cars.
About
because you're going to go for the underlying point of how MTV took the generic ripoff show and somehow made the most popular version of it.
Right. There's a lot.
And that's why you should take me to name that tune at your local bar.
I know we're a little off topic, but since we're talking about Pimp My Ride, there's a lot of AMAs on Reddit.
About Pimp My Ride.
People offering, what happened after Pimp My Ride.
Yeah.
Oh, they even did a Pimp My Ride episode of people that were on the show.
They're doing a Pimp My Ride AMA on Pimp My Ride.
They did it before the show was
canceled. We put an AMA inside your AMA so you can ask me anything while you ask me anything.
And, some of the guys, they got hit and then, the place is not going to fix your collision damage.
Yeah, right.
So they have
no one's going to insure
this. With generic doors on it because their door got crushed and now they have a white generic door with this crazy pearlescent paint.
All right, guys, before we get too far crazy off topic, we're going to take one final break. When we do come back, we are going to play Untapped March Madness, in which we try to see who is going to be the the number one brewery based on Untapped via this month. So,
before we do that.
Yes, what's up? Oh my God, I'm putting you off. Bye. Oh, and we're back
as we're talking about whiskey, bourbon.
Trying to get it. I'm sure everyone's paying attention.
Don't correct me, Tony. I know.
The video in regards to like how quick that ends. And we're like, oh shit, we got to get back. So
I don't feel tardy.
In regards to, I don't know how to respond to that, so we're going to keep trucking on. So in
showing
regards
our ages,
to,
I don't feel.
We are going to play, and we're going to fill it out and see how we do. But basically, what Untapped did was they created a beer companion packet, like a bracket for called Brewery Madness. So it's basically the most checked in breweries are going up against each other, and they have rankings and stuff. So there's three Michigan breweries on here. Actually, I think there's four. There's New Holland, there's Dark Horse. I believe there's Dark Horse, I'm guessing a little bit. But then Bell's and Founders. So, but you also have what you would call big beer companies in here. You have Line and Kugel, separate from Miller, separate from Coors. You also have Anheuser-Busch in here. So this is basically to see – now, mind you, these are check-ins on Untappd.
Yeah, how do you check in for Budweiser?
You go to type the in time, Budweiser.
You go to the dive bar and you check in?
I don't do any of this.
You just type in the beer name. What
you just type in. You
the
just
way
type
Dan
in
feels about social media, I feel about pretty much everything. Social media.
This plus, is as far as plus, I go with social media.
Plus so. Apps. Like, I don't do any of that stuff. So,
we're pretty much going to be able to name, like, know most of the breweries in here. So we'll start off with the top left, which is just called the South region.
Are we
which,
guessing? Is this we're guessing who will get more check-ins?
Yeah,
is
who will get more check-ins?
Not who we want to get check-ins.
Well, yeah, I guess maybe a little.
Yeah,
bit
it's
of
like
both.
Filling out a bracket. Filling out a, for yeah. the
filling out a bracket.
South
region. Okay. So we have Ballast Point number one going against Almanac Beer Co.
See,
Ballast
are we going against beers we don't know?
Whoa, like,
where what are There's you doing every weekend? This doesn't happen
this
when
is,
I'm
this
running.
This is the broken keyboard button
it's
on here.
It's funny,
so.
When I'm running this, that never happens. It's something you're doing.
So I'm just going to assume we're going to...
No soul back.
Well, he's using a Razer product, so it's going to break eventually.
Don't look at me. It's not my keyboard or laptop. So we got next up, Brewery Omegang versus Weyerbacher Brewing Co.
Who?
So Brewery Omegang, more known for a lot
of
bombers, Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. So we're going to Iceland and Finland.
So
I'm going to go Brewery Omegang.
Brewery Omegang.
Sure, me too.
You know what we'll do? We'll just go into a circle. We'll just have one person, like, named, whatever they feel. Because
if
it doesn't
know,
really matter.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like,
yeah, they'll take too long. We only have a little.
Are you filling out the bracket?
Yep, I'm filling up the bracket. So we'll go to we're gonna skip Tony on this one.
Yeah, go ahead. Skip right over me,
Robert. It's gonna be Trogs Independent versus Alpine Beer Co.
I don't need...
Pick whatever sounds the best.
You know I love a 12-5 upset.
All right, Alpine Beer Co. It is Dan Victory Brewing versus Fatheads out of Ohio.
Oh, Victory. I love All their right. – they don't make it, but Hop Wallop was amazing.
So I've got Flying Dog versus Great Divide. I'm going to go with the 11-6 upset and say Great Divide over Flying Dog.
Yeah, I don't care for Flying Dog.
So here we have our first Michigan option. Number 3, Goose Island, going up against number 14, Dark Horse Brewing.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Wow.
Dark Horse
crazy.
Is a 14?
Dark Horse is a 14.
Wow. What are you thinking, Nick? This is curious.
You're going to go home against you're going to go for the macro swill of Goose Island.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, jeez.
You know, as much as I think the obvious choice is Goose Island, but I honestly think Dark Horse could possibly pull an upset here.
I mean, plead the fifth. Smells like a safety meeting.
Yeah, but they have no
safety meeting.
Wait, safety
so,
meeting.
You know, I heard somebody use that phrase
you
the
know
other
what?
Day.
Let's do
Where
the
were
upset.
We?
Let's go with the upset.
The upset.
That was somebody up here.
That was here.
That
when
was
we were
rogue,
talking
the
about
rogue guys talking about safety meeting.
So we've got. I think I'll go back to Tony when I know there's one that Tony knows. So Evil Twin versus Prairie.
Oh my god!
Evil Twin's a 7.
Wow.
Oh.
So Rob.
Me? Oh, damn it. You got to pit this on me.
Yep.
Take it.
Three words. Even more Jesus.
Evil Twin, it is. All right, Tony. Number 2, Bell's Brewery versus Unita Brewing Company.
What is this on me?
Unita's out of Louisiana.
It's on Tony.
Okay.
Turbo Dog. I said that one correct. So... Number 2, Bell's.
I don't want to be a homer, but...
I think picking a number 2... I mean, what number 2 loses in a bracket?
Come on!
Oh, boy.
Come on!
And I like everything from Bell's, and it's huge, so I'll go with Bell's.
All right.
Bell's,
we are heading to the West. Number 1, Founders, Dan, against number 16, Surly.
Wow.
He wasn't here.
Was that the week I wasn't
here?
I can't even comment on that. That's terrible.
That was a great beat.
What do you guys say? I'm going to defer to you guys on this.
I mean, the Founders. Certainly was good, but Founders.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially with KBS coming out this week. I really don't like. I think Founders is going to be.
What's the time frame these are based on?
I don't know. I'll figure it out.
The first round, the 17th through the 18th, second round, 19th through the 20th, the third round.
Founders. You can't.
So, Nick, you're up next. Blue Moon versus Sweetwater.
Say Blue Moon.
Probably Blue Moon.
That's an 8-9. Blue Moon.
Blue Moon.
Like the Blue Moon, like put the orange in your goddamn.
The macro. Whatever.
Robert Rogue versus Anchor Brewing.
Anchor, old foghorn, easily.
Never been an Anchor Brewing fan.
Dan, Firestone Walker versus Yingling.
Yingling. I'm taking that 13-4.
And the other thing is that I have to be partial to Anchor because I've actually been there. I love their facility. Their facility, black and tan wins.
I'm sorry.
So we have number 6, Left Hand Brewing versus Russian River.
We were just talking about Plant.
Where is Russian River? What seed?
The Russian River is 11.
Wow.
An 11. I'm going with Left Hand, sticking it.
Is this because they don't put enough Pliny out? It has to be.
I just like Left Hand better.
I'm just wondering if they don't put enough out to get enough checkings.
Yeah, I don't know what the distribution is in regards to Left Hand versus Russian. Yeah. Nick, Oscar Blues versus 21st Amendment.
They're gonna go Oscar Blues.
Oscar. Yeah. We got Robert Terrapin versus Kona.
Sticking with seed Terrapin.
Terrapin.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Tony, do you know what Lagunitas is?
Yes, I do.
Lagunitas versus Maine Beer Company.
It's Dutch beer.
Oh, you can't get Maine down here.
No, you can't. I'm not really a fan of Lagunitas at all, so I'll go the other way.
Maine beer is good, but fuck the Netherlands.
Lagunitas apparently sucks.
Hey, you called on me.
I'm not a fan.
So.
No, that's perfect.
That's fine. We got the East.
They don't make the beer I like anymore.
We got Sierra Nevada versus Odell Brewing. I don't know. Who said Terrapin?
I did.
So, Dan, we're at you. Sierra Nevada.
Sierra Nevada's going to win that. They make too many good IPAs. Everyone's going to be all over that. Yeah. What seed was that? What number?
116.
Oh, Jesus, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, I don't like Sierra Nevada, but I had to pick Sierra Nevada to get the most check-ins.
So, next up, as I accidentally rephrased, because I'm really good at mixing up breweries, Abita, which has Turbo Dog versus Cigar City at 8-9. So I am the one that it gets to pick between Cigar City, which we don't get here, and Abita. And because we don't get Cigar City here, I'm going to go with Abita.
Okay.
Nick, Brooklyn Brewery versus Clown Shoes.
Oh. Ooh.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
Do I go another upset or do I?
The Clown Shoes at 12.
Yeah.
Clown Shoes made that zombie whatever that like.
So.
What was that label?
Remember though, Clown Shoes usually typically comes in bigger bottles.
Yep.
Whereas Brooklyn is going to come in 12 ounces all the time.
Clown Shoes makes a hell of a billionaire. I forget what that one is. It's like it's an ale that is aged in whiskey barrels or something. Well,
since we don't have any money riding on this, let's go for the upset.
Clown Shoes.
I like Clown Shoes. They made that beer that had the most ridiculous label.
All of them are ridiculous. Yeah. Rob, Green Flash versus Allagash.
Never had either one, but I am going to stick on East Side. I'm gonna go Allagash.
I will bring you some Allagash next week.
13 beating the 4.
All right.
You said Greenbush versus Allagash?
Green Flash.
Oh, Green Flash.
Yep. Avery Brewing Company versus Alesmith. Dan.
Shit, I don't know.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh. Just pick one. Pick the one that starts with an A.
I'm going Avery.
Avery.
Yeah. All right, Avery.
Well, this is going to be
actually drinking some Avery right now.
Dogfish Head versus Breckenridge is what I get.
You should have passed that one to me.
All right, take it, Tony. Dogfish Head versus Breckenridge.
I will take Breckenridge because it is
really?
Yes. I had some in Florida when I went to Florida a couple years ago in a tap room. You know, the big, it's like a big
you
know, national chain, and it was phenomenal. And this is coming from, like you said, a very selective person, so.
So we have next up, we have Three Floyds versus Lightning Kugel.
Is this a 1 versus 16?
No, this is a 7 versus 10.
Three Floyds doesn't have the distribution.
Is that why?
You got to remember that.
Oh, and every douchebag will be checking in the Choco Berry Shandy or whatever
the
we
Ginger
had.
Shandy.
Yeah, whatever we had here.
Three Floyds doesn't have the distribution, but they're the 7?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm going with Lightning Kugel.
Really?
Yep.
Snowdrift Vanilla Porter.
Nick, final one of that part, Boston Beer Co. versus Duke Law.
We gotta go Sammy Adams, Boston Beer Co.
Boston. All right. I'm gonna kick this to Robert. Number 1 versus number 16, Stone Brewing versus The Brewery.
Oh, Lord.
Stone is the 1.
D-A.
Brewery is 16. Remember, not what the best beer is, with the most check. Checked in.
I mean, most checked in. I gotta think Stone. I mean, my problem though is that I'm putting Stone's Woot Stout against.
Oh Lord!
Against Black Tuesday / So Happens It's Tuesday, and it's like
can't drink that much Black Tuesday.
If you can get more of that, then I mean, I definitely. Well, one, I guess I would think the brewery would be higher seated. But as far as check-ins, yeah, I got to say Stone.
All right, Tony, New Holland Brewing Company versus Great Lakes Brewing Company. Ooh. 8-9, Michigan versus Ohio.
So for me, that's Poet versus Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yep.
Yep.
Not Holy Moses?
And that's, well.
No, he's a darker beer drinker.
Yeah, that's right. So it's Edmund Fitzgerald for me. So
Great Lakes.
Great Lakes.
All right. I don't know who Dan.
Dan hasn't gone yet.
Anheuser-Busch versus North Coast.
Well, easy, because Anheuser-Busch makes King Cobra, so we're going Anheuser-Busch.
All right. Gosh. I've got Boulevard Brewing Company versus Coors Brewing Company.
Coors is a 13 in this.
Coors is a 13 in this. You got to remember, Coors, like one of the major Coors
banquet
companies is Blue Moon.
But it's not made in the Rockies. And they're separated in the bracket. And is Coors the kind of beer you want to check and have your friends see that you drink?
You'd say the same thing about Anheuser-Busch.
You can get a badge about it. I'm going to go with Boulevard, though. I don't think Coors is going to overtake it. Nick, Southern Tier versus Miller.
Is Miller the low seed?
Miller's the low seed.
Wow.
I want to go Southern Tier.
Southern Tier. All right.
I'm kind of going along with him. That almost sounds like it's the same thing. I think you would rather check in something from Southern Tier.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to be demotivated. I'm drinking Miller Lite.
A lot of people are going to be like, why am I going to check in a Miller Lite? Obviously, everyone knows I've had it, and maybe don't need to tell
I check it in because I'm
the
bored.
Even the next one's going
to
be like,
so
shit.
We got, I'm gonna throw this to Rob. Deschutes versus Pabst Brewing Company.
Yeah, PBR shit. I don't know.
I'll check in a PBR. I don't give a shit.
PBRs, yeah.
I'll
check
in
PBR.
You know, we're gonna skip Rob on this one.
I know. You put Pabst in there. That's Dan.
Take Deschutes versus PBR because I'm gonna give Rob the next one.
Oh, all right. I'm taking PBR. Sorry.
Of course you are.
Rob, 6 point versus Anderson Valley.
6 point, only because I can't stand Anderson.
It's a thinking man. So Ken was like, Dan won't know who these guys are.
That's pretty much what I said.
I'm going to give Dan PBR.
So, and we're going to finish off with Tony. New Belgium versus Magic Hat.
Ooh, wow.
New Belgium's a tough one.
Even if New Belgium was a 15, I'd still take them in this one. Because Magic Hat just doesn't have the kind of stuff that I like, whereas New Belgium has a bunch of stuff that I like.
All right. First one up. For the second round, Ballast Point versus Brewery Omegang. We'll start with Nick.
Jeez.
I'm mad they're way your bucket didn't make it.
Gonna have to go with the number 1, Ballast Point.
Ballast Point.
Yeah.
I think so.
All right.
Checked in more than
that. Rob, Alpine Beer Co. versus Victory.
Oh, jeez. Victory.
Victory.
All day.
All right. Dan, Great Divide versus Dark Horse.
Dark Horse. Sorry.
14, making it to the good third stuff. Round.
And I've got can't Evil Twin down. Versus Bells.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
The power in my head. solely because Raps. Evil Twin does a lot of bigger beers, and Bells has Oberon coming out very, very soon.
Oh, yeah. Get that Oberon manager on
tap. Yeah.
I am going to go with Bells for that one.
Makes sense.
Yep. All right. We're going to skip to Tony for this one. Founders versus Blue Moon.
Oh,
I think it's going to be Founders.
Okay.
Founders.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Anchor versus Yingling.
He didn't get that one to me because I would have snapped.
We're gonna go Yingling.
Oh,
Yingling.
All right, here we go.
Right. Tony giving me love over here.
We will do Dan Left Hand versus Oscar Blues.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Go in Oscar Blues.
Oscar Blues. Yeah.
Oscar Blues.
And finally, Mr. Robert Terrapin versus Maine Beer Co.
Sucks. I got to do it to lunch, but Terrapin.
Terrapin. Terrapin. All right, going down to the other side of the bracket. We will start with Tony, Sierra Nevada versus Abita.
Like I said before, I don't love Sierra Nevada, but I just know people that do, and the following is insane, and if you're talking about check-ins, it's got to be Sierra Nevada.
All right. I think it might be my turn. Clown Shoes versus Allagash.
It's 12 versus the 13.
Yep, and I am going to say Allagash.
Allagash.
Wow. We'll continue.
To the next round.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, we've got Avery versus Breckenridge. Nick.
Let's try Breckenridge. We're going to go Breckenridge.
Breckenridge. And finally, Tony.
Tony, give me more love over here, man.
I love this guy.
Leinenkugel versus Boston Beer Company.
Oh, now, this is a good matchup.
It's a fun one.
This is a very fun one. I agree.
I think top to bottom.
Remember, check-ins, not beer taste.
I know, and that's the thing. I think
it's a tough thing about this whole.
Yeah,
I'd love to fill one out based on preference.
I don't care.
But
we're not making any money here.
Yeah,
we're not gambling. We're not putting money up to do this.
If I can help,
so the two best seasons for Leinenkugel, winter and the summer, are not during when this is happening.
Correct,
and that's where I think the consistency and
that's
the top to bottom.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and the top to bottom beers that people like, Boston is where it's happening now.
Yeah.
If it was happening in the fall, even, it would probably go the other way. But if it's the summer, the winter, I think there's enough people with summer and with Snowdrift that would maybe, turn it around.
Before we go on to the next one, both companies have such a huge portfolio of beers.
Yeah.
It could very easily be swung either way, but I would agree with
that. Yeah, if I'm trying to pick a winner, I think I'm going to pick Boston.
All right, so I'm pretty much going to be picking and choosing in regards to who starts, but we're going to start with Robert 6 Point versus New Belgium. New Belgium going on.
You start out on the bottom.
Dan, just for you, Southern Tier versus Pabst.
Oh, God.
That's why you started at the bottom.
Yeah, that's why you're putting in a bad spot.
You wanted to give him PBR again.
I'm going Pabst. I think they too wide a distribution.
All right.
Plenty of bros checking that in still.
Nick, Anheuser-Busch versus Boulevard.
Oh, man. See, are people going to check in AB InBev stuff?
I don't know. You have to ask them. King Cobra.
They might be too drunk to do it.
Oh, King Cobra. Sold.
All right. Anheuser-Busch.
Oh, yeah.
I think in the second round, you're pretty safe picking Budweiser.
All right. Yeah. And for Mr. Tony, Stone Brewing versus Great Lakes.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Lord. That's a tough choice.
Again, this is why I started the bottom.
This is Woodstout versus.
So I would pick Great Lakes if I was picking for my personal preference of taste, but I think Stone, just the name alone, is just going to have
it's going to have more
check-ins. So I'm going to go with Stone. It's a one seed for a reason, right?
So
Stone is going on. So we are into the final Sweet 16 as I'm finishing killing off this growler right here.
I was trying to close it.
They can't close.
There he goes. So hold on. Let me go. You said Stone, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. As this task manager keeps popping up every time I hit the shift button. Garbage. So we will start with, we'll go back to Robert. Ballast Point versus Victory.
Ooh, wow. That's a tough matchup.
The one versus the four.
As I'm sitting here enjoying Avery's Raja Double IPA, by the way, since you just knocked Avery out not too long ago.
Yeah, they got knocked out in the first round.
Ballast Point versus Victory.
Yep.
Well,
they don't make Hop Wallop anymore, so that's.
But you know,
not probably the other person that drank Hop Wallop. Come to think of it,
just as all of the NCAA tournaments, not all ones make it to the finals.
It's true.
Ooh, Victory is what you're saying.
I'm gonna go with Victory on that.
Wow.
All right, kicking it back to Tony. Dark Horse versus Bells.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow.
The 2 versus the 14.
Glad I wasn't throwing that
2
one.
Versus 14, both Michigan brands.
And I don't know if you guys.
It's the spring.
I don't know if you know me, but you know, if you've ever seen me gamble, I'm not the kind of person that bets on a 14.
Right.
And versus
you pick
a 2.
And choose your, yeah.
And when you're trying to pick for a winner for most check-ins, I think, you know, it's just going to have to be Bells, unfortunately.
All right.
Although for taste, it's kind of up in the air. I might go either way.
All right. Going to we'll go to me because I feel like it. Founders versus Yingling.
Ooh,
that's a tough one.
So
1 versus 13.
Based on the beer that just came out, I'm gonna have to say Founders.
Understandable. Yeah.
Even next week, or it still would be this, or yeah, it would still be this week that they would be checking it in. So I'm gonna go with Founders.
Yeah.
Nick, Oscar Blues versus Terrapin.
Oscar Blues.
Oscar Blues making it to the Elite Eight. We'll go with Robert, Sierra Nevada versus Allagash.
He's Sierra
thinking,
Nevada.
You're thinking too hard in this one.
No, there wasn't any thinking. It was like, really?
Breckenridge versus Boston Beer Co.
Boston Beer, just because of how much I have.
Boston Beer Co. All right, going down to the last two before the Elite Eight. Nicholas Stone versus Anheuser-Busch.
Oh, man.
Wow. Matchup of the tournament so far.
Because King Cobra...
Unfortunately,
I don't know if King Cobra holds them that far.
No,
unfortunately, true. I think this is where the reign of terror of Anheuser-Busch ends.
The reign of terror. You're just going to knock him out because.
Yeah, well, I think more people are going to be opted to check in a Stone Brewing versus Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah, more people who actually use the app will probably be more likely to
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't complete, like, consumption period. This is consumption.
Who uses
on
tap.
This is how many people you want to... Yeah, people that want to let people know what they're drinking.
That's, yeah. Some people like me, I don't care.
Sure, sure. Yeah, most people. Yeah.
All right.
I drank ice house a couple weeks ago. Come on.
We will go with Tony. Pabst versus New Belgium.
I'm sorry, but this is where the blue ribbon goes down.
The blue ribbon.
There is no way.
No more
Belgium versus.
You want a lock? 18, you want a stone cold lead pipe lock? It is Belgium here.
No more Pibber.
All right, we are going to make our way into the final four. So we've got Victory versus Bells.
Oh boy!
Oh boy!
It's been a while since you picked one, Ken.
Okay, I'll take this one. Victory versus Bells.
2 versus 4.
I gotta stick with the theory behind why I picked Bells in the first place. So I'm gonna say Bells goes on
to the final four.
Somebody jump in and just pick it. Founders versus Oscar. Robert.
Founders.
Okay, Dan.
He said someone jump in.
He jumped in. And then he said, right. I was on the buzzer fast enough.
The pump fake.
So Oberon versus KBS.
Oberon? Oh,
Bells, remember?
Never I mean, mind. You're going to find Oberon a hell of a lot easier than you're going to find KBS.
All right. We will go Nick. Sierra Nevada versus Boston Beer Co.
That's a tough one. Versus that's two. A loaded.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very rough.
Well, here's a question. With Beer Camp coming out, does that constitute...
Nope.
Okay.
Ken knows so much.
Question answered.
Killed it right there.
I'm going to say Boston Beer Co.
Boston Beer Co. Number two.
I think people are going to check in more Boston Beer Co. than Sierra Nevada.
All right. Pick.
Finally, we'll go with Robert. New Belgium versus Stone.
The other 1 versus 2.
Oh, man.
It's like the top bracket's the homer bracket. The bottom bracket is.
I mean, yeah, just talking about check-ins. Sticking with it. I got to go with Stone.
Stone.
I'm going to go with Stone.
All right. That is a number one and a number two in the bottom. Bells was, what was Bells?
Bells is a 2.
And Founders is a 1?
1.
So 2 2s and 2 1s going in. The state of Michigan is on the line. Bells, Oberon versus Founders, KBS. So let's have
like
a collective.
There's
five
table.
Of us.
Democratic
five
here?
Of us.
Okay.
There's a Democrat. So we'll start with Nicholas.
Oh, man. KBS just came out. You got Oberon getting ready to come out.
Yeah, remember, this is going to be like 3 weeks from now.
This is April 1st to April 2nd.
April 1st to April 2nd. WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. That's 2 weeks. First weekend of April.
I'm going to go and say
Bells. One for Bells. Choice. Tony.
Well, I think at this point in the bracket, you're basically flipping a coin. And I'm going to go with where my heart is, and I'm going to say Founders.
Founders, one and one, Robert.
I was going to say, what is this, Iowa?
Does that mean that Founders is Hillary Clinton?
And inevitable?
Robert, Bells, all right, Founders.
Bells are Founders. Yeah, and yeah, there's going to be so many posts about KBS.
Remember, this is 3 weeks from now, though, too.
Do you think people might check KBS, and even if they haven't drank it, just to be part of the special team?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You think people rate things on Amazon, even though they never bought it?
I think so.
Yeah. I think so. Actually, yeah.
Damn it. I'm going to go Founders.
Founders. Two, Bells, one. Dan.
What are we at? What's the vote at?
2-1 in favor of Founders.
I'm going to turn you into Anthony Kennedy, and I'm going to make it 2-2. Yeah. All right.
Well, it's very simple.
So this is Supreme Court.
The swing votes.
Here's your swing vote. Oberon wins. Bells. Yeah.
Oh, I agree.
Wait a minute. If he was supposed to be Anthony Kennedy, I'm supposed to be Clarence Thomas. I shouldn't even be talking.
No, he talks now. Now that the guy who he votes with died, he has to ask questions.
We'll start with Robert for this one. Boston Beer versus Stone Brewing Co. Oh, all right.
Wow, no.
Stone 1-0.
I got to go Boston Beer.
1-1 for Boston. And Stone, I will go with – I'm going to stick with my theory for smaller bottles equals more check-ins, therefore. Mm-hmm. Boston, 2-1.
Fair.
I'm going to go Stone.
Stone, 2-2. Tony, breaking the tie.
Wow, I didn't think I'd be here.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Now you're breaking.
All right, Dante.
I think that
if you're just going on pure check-ins, that you're just going to see so many more people knowing what the Boston brand is and ordering it and then talking about it. Just slightly more, because it's been embedded in American culture. There's commercials on TV every single day. You see it everywhere. I'm going to go with Boston.
Boston Beer Co. Oh. So our finals, the Battle of the Bees, Michigan versus Massachusetts, Bells versus Boston, the Red Sox versus the Tigers.
The two versus the Celtics
versus the Pistons.
Let's not go Red Sox versus Tigers. I already have bad memories.
The Lions versus whatever team Boston has.
New England.
Being sarcastic. Most people in this country don't know that.
Wow. Yeah, I know.
So,
for everyone listening and watching,
assuming
where's that team that plays from across the pond? I don't like them. Why they call them the Patriots? They ain't Patriots.
They're from New England.
They're from England.
New England.
Oh boy.
So we are going to start.
Probably real.
We're going to start with Nicholas because we're running out of time here. Starting with Nicholas, we got about 4 minutes to go. Bells versus Boston.
I want to stick with the homeboys. I'm going to go Bells.
Bells, number one.
Can I vote for Founders again?
Sure.
No, I can't, but I'm going to put this last three in a really awkward spot because I'm also going to go with Bells.
Bells for two. I'm going to
make it 2-0 right now.
Boston Beer Co. versus Bells.
I mean, I got to stay home.
Bells.
I got to stay home.
I feel like California right now. My vote doesn't even freaking matter.
So, Dan, what was your vote?
Because I was going Boston.
Boston.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, I was going to go Bells.
Oh, I definitely feel like California. Everyone else is voting for the well.
Well, you do have the most delegates, so that might matter.
Yeah, possibly.
Not in June.
Nobody really knows.
Nobody knows. It just happens, and then we accept it.
Just as long as you win 60%. That's all.
So Bells, a 2. After beating many, many breweries, we've got Bells' line to victory, which if I can actually find it, there it is. Starting with Unita, following beating Evil Twin, Dark Horse, Victory, getting out of the same bracket as Ballast Point. Going in, beating Founders as well, and then Boston's road to victory would be, as I'm looking for Boston, Duclaw, whatever they are,
Sweet baby Jesus.
Leinenkugel, Breckenridge, Sierra Nevada, and Stone.
Wow.
So we, as five people from Michigan, voted one of the Michigan breweries.
I will have to say that the path that Boston had to go through to get there was a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I think the final four, though, Bell's versus Founders, is probably a lot tougher than Bell's, or Bell's would have been against Stone.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Now, are we going to save this and check back next week?
Yeah, we will save this, check back next week. We'll have the Sweet 16 next week. Maybe we'll re-bracket if our bracket is completely busted.
Sounds amazing.
As I'm sure about the 99% of the people that did brackets for the tournament this year have already had their brackets busted.
ESPN's at 0% completion, so nobody will have a perfect bracket on ESPN this year.
You had State getting upset, and then you had Yale beating freaking – who they beat?
They beat Baylor.
Baylor.
Yeah, Baylor. So Baylor. Rock won.
Yeah.
Rebuys are the best part of gambling, though.
That is.
So
I want a poker tournament with a rebuy, and I hate rebuys.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, no. The one thing I hate about rebuys, and we got like 30 seconds. I remember somebody going into a hand because it was $1,000 worth of chips, $1,000, quote unquote. I think we spent like $50 to get in. You got $1,000 worth of chips. He lost the first hand and then rebought in to stack his chips.
Oh,
because if you were under the original buy-in amount of $1,000, you could buy in
again.
Oh. And I'm like, oh,
well, you really have to blame the host for that, yep, unfortunately. Right.
Sadly, we are going to do it for Better on Draft. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft.
Bye-bye.